I wanted to give three messages on stewardship, and last week was on how God owns everything, and that sets our hearts free very much. Next week on the opportunities to give to the Lord, and this week on us being heaven-bound, and that putting what God gives us in proper perspective and really giving us a lot of freedom in that area of our life. The Bible does say the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And I don't have the story of Andrew Carnegie down pat in my heart. I know bits and pieces of that man's life. He was a hard worker. Sometimes what he gained, he did so by being a little bit unfair and certainly rough on others in many occasions. He did have some children, however, in which he tried to teach them that their security was not based on how much they had, but on really he would pass on a name to them that would mean very much. And so for Andrew Carnegie, who had much, very much, you know, what did that produce in his children? They were very secure. They were very grateful. And they were very generous for the most part. And so when you think of God owning everything, and in fact owning everything you have, he has given you, that makes us very secure in Christ, whether we feel we have a lot or a little. Makes us very thankful. Thank you, God, I get to share what you have. And it makes us very generous also. We like to give, because we give from God's hand to others, you might say. You'll notice if you participate in the Christmas Shoebox Ministry, there's a paraphrase of King David on one of the pamphlets. And the paraphrase says, all we have comes from God, and we give it out of his hand. So it's a blessing. And yet, being a steward or taking care of what God has, we can experience sin in that area as much as any other area in our lives. Just like sometimes we sin with our mouth or with our thoughts, we sin by failing to do what God wants us to do. We also can sin in the area of taking care of what God gives us. And that's very easy to do because of our own selfish hearts, unless Christ gets a hold of them. Sometimes we think because we're Christians, you know, we don't have any problems in that area. Throughout the week, Monday through Saturday, you and I walk around in life and in the world. We're constantly bombarded by messages that tell us the more you have, the happier you'll be. The more you have, the more important you'll be. And we take that in 6 days a week. And we come into the sanctuary and we think, that doesn't affect us anymore. We're here in the sanctuary. But really, when we come together, we bring with us the discipleship that we have participated in for the past 6 days. And it is an opportunity to get back in touch with the way things really are as we worship God. Oh, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So Christians have problems when it comes to materialism. Pastors have problems when it comes to materialism. I like to watch commercials. I get a big kick out of them in terms of how they try to get attention. One commercial that has gotten to my musical interest, a very short jingle. They come up with these great jingles, you know. They're either selling a credit card or a cell phone. And when I go through the mall, I hear this song. And the song simply says, I like that. I don't know if you've seen that commercial. You will try not to make it a part of our opening choruses, you know, on a Sunday morning. Pastors can sin in the area of materialism. There's a story of one man who was dying who went to visit his pastor and said, Pastor, when I die, if I leave everything to the church, will I go to heaven? The pastor thought for a moment and said, I'm not really sure. Let's give it a try. But the reality is, if you're looking for peace with God or heaven, or salvation, it's not for sale at the store. It's not for sale in the church, but it's given as a gift through faith in Christ. And maybe in your life, you have had the experience of earning everything you have, or you thought you earned it. you were such a nice person and people became a friend to you. You feel like I earned that. You got the job that somebody else didn't get because you were better educated, you thought, or more skilled in the interview. And you may have a hard time accepting Christ as a gift. But He offers Himself to each of us as a gift. And when we know Him as a gift, we begin to look at all of life as an opportunity to take care of God's gifts to us. So be at peace with God through faith in Christ. And you'll be very glad and secure and generous and full of gratitude. And people often, unfortunately, try to even give to God to earn His favor. But He gives His favor through Christ. So His favor is with you this morning. And as a when we recognize God owns everything, we begin to know the limitations of the things in creation. They are gifts, they are important, but they are not to have our hearts. And King Solomon learned that lesson after being king. Can you imagine being king of a whole nation? And he had so much wealth. He wrote as a person at the very top of society in terms of all the things he had or all the things he wanted. And his testimony was this: I have it all, but that's not enough. There's an emptiness in my heart. I need God. And Solomon wrote these words, not as somebody who was working his way up the ladder, you know, to try to get more and more, and then he would feel important about himself, but somebody who was at the top and found out nobody was home up there. He wrote, "Whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied." Solomon's saying, well, stuff doesn't give my heart peace. So he says, I'm turning to God. And many will look at Solomon's life and say, well, I want to try that for myself. I want to get all I can and see maybe if it doesn't affect me like it affected Solomon. Well, how much of your life do you want to waste having a treasure on earth only and putting your heart into that? Jesus said, where rust destroys and moths eat away. I think of some of the things that were so very important to me 10 years ago in terms of possessions. Most of them are in the junk pile or in the garbage bin somewhere. But Christ, what He means to a heart, lasts forever and continues on. And so to see things from God, to see Christ as the real joy of our lives, and to say thank you, God, for whatever blessing you give, we want to take care of them. Chuck Swindoll wrote on the limitations of creation as opposed to the eternal gifts that God gives. Listen to how he talked about money as it would come across our taking care of in our lives. He says, money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. How true that is as you go to visit people in the hospital. There's an equal playing field when it comes to health. Money can buy medicine, but not buy health. Money can buy entertainment, but not buy friends. There's a sadness in many of the lives of people who are very, very wealthy. They will tell you that they really don't know who their true friends are, because they're not sure if people are just hanging around them because they have things. Money can buy food, but cannot buy an appetite. Solomon's testimony was, the work of the laborer and the sleep of the laborer is sweet. He works hard. If he eats a lot, eats a little, he's going to sleep, and he's going to sleep like a baby. But he said, if you have too much, you're full of anxiousness sometimes, and it's hard to get a good night's sleep. Money can buy a bed, but not buy sleep. Money can buy religion, but not buy a savior. John Wesley was a good Christian preacher who looked at life and said, our life should be under Christ. And he taught a lot about stewardship. He told people, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. That was his three-point sermon for all of us. Make all you can. Be responsible. Be industrious. Be a hard worker. That's a gift from God. Save all you can. Don't just let it fly out the window. What God has entrusted to you. And then give all you can. God has given you out of his hand so that you might give to others. And Wesley also said, any preacher with more than two coats was a crook. So that maybe I need to head to the Goodwill bin after this worship time. He said, if God gave you a lot, sometimes that's a test of prosperity. We go through tests in our lives in terms of our stewardship. Sometimes we have a test of poverty. We don't have a lot. We have to be thankful for the peanut butter and jelly we're eating in that way. Sometimes we have much. And the test of having a lot sometimes is more difficult than the test of having a little bit. Wesley wrote this about just the strains that he saw among believers. He said this, when riches increase, the essence of knowing Christ may decrease in proportion. People begin to trust in themselves and not God. Faith in Christ produces hard work and frugality. Those are good things. And these produce wealth. But he said, when wealth increases, people are more susceptible to pride and anger and selfishness and just love of the things in the world. And he kind of threw up his hands and said, is there no way to prevent this continued decay of putting Christ first? And that's a warning to us. You know, that God has blessed you and given you some kind of good wealth that you could take care of. That's a real test from him as to how you will handle that to honor him. And the test of generosity. Lord, help us as the wealthiest nation to count your blessings and to share them, not to hoard them to our own hurt. When we hoard them, we hurt ourselves. The things in my life that I have hoarded, they have become a headache to me. They have gotten in the way of things I really needed. Sometimes I go to my garage and I have 10 things I don't need. I can't find the one thing I do need. And that can become a whole lifestyle if we're not careful. But God gives so that we might be secure and grateful and generous. And sometimes you may have prayed this prayer, Lord, make me very wealthy so that I could be generous. I've prayed that a number of times. But I think the Lord tells us, if we can't be generous where we're at today, don't think we're going to be generous if he gives us more. In fact, God wouldn't be a very good teacher to us to entrust us with more when we were not grateful and generous for that which he has given us. And so, before the Lord to say, Father, my security is in you, and I can be grateful and generous. And I share this example because I think we can learn from groups of Christians in addition to individuals. I share of some churches I have served in the past. Because what we do together is really a reflection of what we all do as individuals. The whole is no greater than the sum of its parts in that way. So one church where I served had an average amount in the bank of about $5,000 over quite a long period of time. Not a real lot for a whole group of people to do ministry with. And another church I was at previous to that had in the bank from the generosity of God's people, $250,000 and consistent over a long period of time. Which group of followers do you think was more faithful and grateful and secure and generous in following Christ? Which accomplished more in terms of ministry? Well, the surprising answer was they were pretty much equally generous and grateful and secure. And as Rick Warren, who wrote the book Purpose Driven Life, said, their self-worth was not equal to their net worth. They were both important in the kingdom of heaven. But the church that had a little bit, I will say this, seemed to be able to be generous and grateful a little more easily. Wasn't that hard of a decision to make when something needed done. There was not much there to do anything with. So he said, let's do it and see God work. The church that had more seemed to have a bigger strain of it to do things. More discussion. More pain. More wondering, are we doing the right thing since God has entrusted us with so much? And yet they were able to do faithfully as they trusted Christ. Both groups, by the way, pretty much saw the same amount of people actually come to receive Christ, which tells us something, that ultimate spiritual health really doesn't matter in terms of how much you have, but what you do with what God has given you to honor Him with. And so Jesus gives us these warnings in terms of putting God first, because He loves us and wants our joy to be complete in Him. He said, you cannot serve God and money. So to serve God will give you joy. He said, the riches of this world alone would choke out the good seed of God's word. So what I have to be careful with. It will block me hearing God. He said, beware. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He tells us that because we are heaven bound. And our treasure is Christ. Our wealth is in Him, and it is secure there. I tell you the story of a man who was generous and had much. And he was a good Christian, committed follower of Christ. He ran a cement company, and his sons took it over when he died in an accident recently, a number of years ago. The company is Frank Bryan Cement Company. And he wanted to give a gift one time to a ministry that needed help and a boost. And so he talked about the specifics of the ministry and he gave a gift. And before he did, I said, are you sure you want to do this? Because that's kind of a lot to give. Can you picture a preacher saying that? That's kind of a lot to give. And I said, you work very hard for, you know, what God has entrusted you with. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, but what I really have, that doesn't mean anything to me. That was his words that kind of stuck in my heart and my ears for about 20 years now. That doesn't mean anything to me. He was a careful steward. He was grateful. He was thankful. But ultimately, his treasure was Christ. And that's where his heart was. And I want to be like that in my discipleship, in my life. Tell you another story of good stewardship that would inspire, I think. Especially if you like Christian music. Some of you know the name of Rich Mullins, Christian singer and songwriter. He wrote one of the choruses we sing. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, learn to walk in your ways. Step by step, you'll lead me. He wrote that song. He also wrote the song, Our God is an Awesome God. He died tragically in a car accident about 5 or 6 years ago. And they went to the scene of the accident, and he had some stuff in his Jeep. And, of course, they wanted to take care of whatever else he had after he died. So they were surprised to find, and none of this came out until the funeral, which was attended by a whole bunch of people. They went to the place where he resided, and it was on an Indian reservation where he decided to live. And they went to the place where he lived, and the only thing they found was his jacket. That was it. He had quietly, just between him and the Lord, decided to live very generously, very gratefully, very securely, giving away almost everything he had to others who had needs and for the honor of Christ. And when you hear stories like that, I think it lets us know it's a blessing to be generous. It's inspiring. There's something freeing in living with an open hand and saying, God, if you provide little or much, I want to share with others to be a blessing to them. And did Rich Mullins miss out on anything? in life? Or did he live a very wonderful life with Christ? And in a way, I think here's the best part. You and I get to be like Rich Mullins in the future when we are done with this life. Because through Christ alone, we will be heaven bound. And really what we thought we had in our U-Haul or anywhere else will be emptied. The rust and the moth will take care of that which we leave behind eventually. And we will go to heaven. And at that moment, it will be the happiest moment of our lives up to that point. And what you think, just think about what that means in reality. What you think joy and happiness is really all about. And what it truly is really all about. It is the treasure of Christ and knowing Him. Your treasure will be in heaven with the Lord. And you'll be able to say, like that fella who gave testimony, that other stuff, that was a gift. You were grateful. But that didn't really mean anything to you. It was Christ. It was things of eternal value that really had your heart. And so, as Jesus said, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Be rich, said Paul, in good deeds, generosity, and share. And you'll know the joy of Christ when He's your treasure. Like we as God's people turn to God in this way and be secure, grateful, and generous because of Him. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for each one of us that I would imagine, Lord, in terms of history, You have entrusted us with, first of all, the pure gold of the gospel, which we don't want to hoard for ourselves, but we want to share as freely we have received so we can freely give. And then, Father, the things that You entrust us with that sometimes catch our hearts. Help us, Lord, to repent. Help us to have our hearts in the treasure of Christ. And live such a life where we can joyfully share and be generous to others. The world is filled with hurting people. We thank You for the examples of people we hear around us that do inspire us to follow You in this area of our life. Keep our hearts from being attached to earthly treasure. Deliver us from the love of money. Set our hearts on fire, Lord, with the love of Yourself, because we know You delight in us. We love You back, as the children said in the video. Bless each one here, Lord, and give us that gift of life forever with Christ, that we might pass it on to others. In Your name we pray. Amen.